Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading a story called My Parents Have Been Holding Human Auctions Inside Our Family Basement by Trash Tia. I really hope you enjoy this story. If you do, let me know in the comments. Leave a like on the video or episode, wherever you hear it. And a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. Let's get started. Dad has had friends in our basement since I was a little kid. The one rule in our household was to never question them, ever. I remember being 6 years old, eating chocolate frosting in our kitchen. It was raining outside, and Mom was teaching me how to bake cookies. She was making shapes in the dough, and I was sneaking chocolate chips from the pack. It was warm and cozy, an upbeat song on the radio. I was feeding chocolate chips to my teddy bear when the sliding glass doors behind me opened, a violent blast of wind whipping my hair from my face. I only had to see the silhouette of my father to know he had brought friends. I didn't like it when Dad brought friends over. Especially new friends. Mom slammed the oven shut and switched off the radio, maintaining her smile. I let her gently pull me over to the dining room table, situating herself in front of me. I pretended not to notice my mother's frantic eyes, her lips silently telling me to stay as quiet as a mouse. Dad strode through the door, his arms wrapped around a girl who was soaking wet. Her shoes were filled with rainwater, squelching with every step. "Don't say a word," he grunted to the girl, pulling her further into the light. All I could see was a mop of dark blonde hair glued to her face. The girl seemed dizzy, like she was going to fall, swaying left to right, stumbling over herself. She moved like a puppet, one foot in front of the other. When my father made a hissing sound, her head jerked up and I saw an identity. Pretty features and made-up eyes, a mouth that I knew was used to laughing, used to smiling, now hollow. She must be sick, I thought, casting my gaze to my lap. In the corner of my eye, two figures followed, shadows bleeding into reality under fluorescent light. This time, two men fell in step. No, they were younger, my older cousin's age. The three of them were college-aged. I glimpsed intricate black lines tainting one of the boy's arms, creeping all the way down to his wrist and tangling around his fingers. One of the boys staggered, and my dad barked at him to keep moving. My six-year-old self never acknowledged the gun sticking into the girl's back, or when he pushed the girl down through the basement door, protruding the gun into one of the guy's heads. Mom told me to look away. She told me to look at the pretty cookie she made in the oven. I followed her gaze, admiring my cookies. The one at the very edge of the tray was a funny-shaped heart. I could sense my sharp breaths, my hand clammy in my lap. The boy didn't move at first, coming to an abrupt stop. "Walk, kid," Dad ordered. Mom let out a hiss next to me, her hands tangling in her lap. The boy's voice surprised me, a low murmur. "And if I don't, old man," he sneered, "what are you going to do to me?" I squeezed my eyes shut, counting my breaths. Daddy was just bringing his friends to play. I was suddenly too far aware of my father clicking off the safety. Back then, the click meant nothing to me, but looking back, this sound still gives me nightmares. "You know what I'll do." The boy dropped his arms to his sides and with a reluctant hiss followed my dad. Dad wasn't supposed to be friends with teenagers. His other friends were teenagers too. He took three girls into the basement several weeks prior and they were yet to come back up. I was still waiting for them to appear, the knots in my tummy getting worse as the weeks went by. I liked Dad's other friends. They didn't have names and even if they did, Dad refused to tell me. There was a hard-faced brunette, a dazed-looking, freckly blonde who kept asking me where her parents were, and my favorite, who had pigtails like me, until she lost all of her hair. I also nicknamed them Scary Eyes, Freckles, and Pigtails. When I asked Pigtails where all her hair had gone, her eyes darkened, but she didn't say anything. The three girls were sick, their colors reminding me of my favorite cartoon, Blossom. Freckles coughed, splattered red into her hands. Bubbles. Pigtails couldn't walk straight, yellow froth bubbling through her lips and down her chin. Buttercup. Scary eyes, teeth were black, like she had been chewing candy. I wondered if my dad's friends were dying. The girl's skin was pale, ghostly, almost translucent. When Mom and Dad were at work, sometimes the three came upstairs. They were getting sicker. Scary eyes had to hold on to Pigtails, the two of them stumbling up the stairs. Freckles was wearing a metal crown thing that she couldn't tear off. Dad told me his friends were sick, and he was going to make them better. I thought they were going to run away, but they just ate cookies and drank soda like they hadn't eaten or drank in days, asking me questions I didn't understand. Freckles tried to call someone, but the phone was dead. Scary Eyes asked if I had a computer or cell phone, and I told her I wasn't allowed them because I was too young. She started to get mad, her expression twisting. How do we get out of here? I was too busy frowning at the line of black seeping from her nose. She swiped it away with her backhand, lips curling into a snarl. Well? Scary Eyes had a lot of nosebleeds. She asked me what her name was, and I told her it was Scary Eyes. I don't think she liked that response. She got angry, throwing a vase at me, though, and I don't remember her actually touching it or picking it up. I was standing very still, watching her swipe blood from her nose, and then my mother's favorite vase was flying into my face. Before it could hit me, the girl dropped to her knees with a cry, and the vase hit the ground, shattering into pieces. Pigtails hugged her, calming the girl down with whispered reassurances. Get off me! Scary Eyes shoved her away, wild eyes landing on me. Why can't we leave? She demanded in a shriek. I told them I didn't know. Where's the off switch? Freckles could hardly stand up, her arms wrapped around her stomach, doubling over in pain. She tried to open the sliding glass doors, but they were locked. So was the door to the upstairs. The girls were scaring me. Scary Eyes was stifling a nosebleed, intense red seeping through her fingers. Freckles grabbed me, shaking me violently. Her face was slick red, too red, like she was painted in it. Kid, how the hell do we get out of here? She's a kid, Pigtail said softly. Go easy on her, it's not her fault. Then what are we supposed to do? They were my father's patients, I thought, as a naive six-year-old. They were too sick to go home, just like Dad told me. Pigtails gave me her ID card in secret. She told me to get help, squeezing my hands tightly. Her blood-slicked hands were warm and wet. When I tried to tug away, she pressed her ID into my grasp, the plastic corner digging into my skin. Pigtails' eyes were glassy, seeping red streaked with black dripping from her nose. She was crying. You need to be brave for me, Rosie, because if you're not, we're not going to be okay. When I nodded, she wrapped her arms around me. Can you give this to the cops and tell them we're here? She whispered. That's all you need to do, sweetie. When I told Dad, he asked me to give it to him instead. Denial is a common side effect of their illness, he told me. They think they need to get out, and they think they're in danger, when in reality, I'm saving them from their own poisoned minds. He cleared his throat, swiping his hands on a towel. Some poisoned minds, however, cannot be fixed. I asked Dad what Pigtails' real name was. Dad smiled behind the surgical white of his mask, slipping the girl's ID into his pocket. Well, what do you like to call her? He said, washing his scarlet-stained hands in the kitchen sink. Sitting on the countertop, I swung my legs, nibbling on a cookie. Dad was always covered in tomato sauce after coming up from the basement. Pigtails? I said. Just like mine. Dad ruffled my hair. Then that's her name. I found the girl's ID in the trash a few weeks later, along with the others. Their real names were Violet, Risa, and Clementine. I never saw my father's friends again. Dad was busy for the rest of the week, bringing up trash bags from the basement. Mom was crying and wouldn't leave her room. I thought the girls would come back up the stairs, all better. But they didn't. I waited outside the door with cookies every day, but the basement stayed shut, and now Dad was replacing them with three strangers. Brand new best friends. Initially, I wasn't fazed. I was a kid, so I figured the three had gone home without me realizing. But now Dad was bringing in new friends, and my tummy was starting to twist. I was aware of my mother situating herself in front of me. Her eyes were dark, underlined with shadows. I watched my father drag the soaking wet girl towards the basement door, the boys following in slow strides. Dad's new friends didn't look happy to be in our kitchen. The three of them looked like they had been to the beach. The girl was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, her feet bare, hair hanging in thick clumps in front of her eyes. One of the guys wasn't even wearing a shirt, only long-cut shorts, Ray-Bans perched on thick brown hair. The other, hiding behind sandy-colored curls, wore a short-sleeved tee, a beach towel still wrapped around him. Dad must have picked them up at the beach. Before I could break the rules and question who they were, Mom grabbed my face gently and turned my head to look at her. In the corner of my eye, one of the boys dropped to his knees, and my dad wrapped his hand around the boy's shoulder, yanking him to his feet. "Move, boy." Dad's voice was a low growl I didn't know. "Rosie?" Mom's voice cut through the silence. She tightened her grip on my face, her nails sticking into my skin. It hurt, but I didn't tell her that. Mom's hands moved down to cradle my cheeks. "Keep looking at me," she whispered, her eyes wide. "Okay?" I did, tearing my gaze from the dark-haired boy who dropped his glasses. The sound of them hitting the ground made me wince. I watched him duck down to pick them back up, before my father stomped on them.
"Rosie?"
Mom said my name again. I felt her fingers grasping my arm. Her voice sounded strange, like waves crashing onto a shore. The boy straightened up and did exactly what my father told him.
"Hey," Mom hummed. "Eyes on me, baby."
Mom and I talked about my favorite cookies until my words were tangled on my tongue, and I couldn't talk anymore. And behind me, the basement door opened. One shadow was shoved through, and then another. The final shadow strayed back for a moment, and I felt his eyes burning into the back of my head. I sensed his slow steps, dragging himself before my dad dragged him through. The door slammed shut, and I immediately twisted around, jumping from my seat to pick up the broken glasses. Mom's arms were wrapping around me, pulling me to her chest. She was trembling.
"Okay, sweetie."
Her voice was the comfort I needed.
"Why don't we decorate our cookies?"
Dad's newest friends became a permanent part of our family. Their screams kept me awake at night, but Dad reassured me he was just playing games with them. They didn't age. I turned 7 and then 8 years old, my birthdays coming and going, and Dad's friends looked exactly the same. Unlike with the others, I was allowed to talk to them. The basement door was always open, so after dinner, I grabbed as many snacks as possible and slid down cold concrete steps. The three of them were behind a big glass screen, like a human zoo. Dad told me they were sick, and he was making them better. At first, Dad's friends were boring. All they did was cry. The girl sat in the corner with her arms wrapped around her legs, head sandwiched in her lap. She was wearing different clothes, a stained white shirt and pants. I thought she suited her other clothes better. At least, Dad was looking after them, letting them change. The boys wore light blue, more akin to hospital scrubs. I noticed the pretty black lines on his arms were gone, strips of stained white wrapped around his wrists. I started to call them dark hair and gold hair in my head. Dark hair lay on his back and stared at the ceiling. Gold hair curled up like a cat, his face buried in his knees. The more I visited him, the sicker they looked, like they were being drained of life. Pallid skin, sunken eyes that found nothing. The more I visited them, the sicker my dad's friends looked. Like they were being drained of life, all of the color sucked from their cheeks. The exact same thing happened to Dad's other friends, though Freckles' skin was almost see-through the last time I saw her. Her eyes were glassy, and I wasn't even sure she could understand me. Scary eyes spat out streaks of deep black. Pigtails was too sick to stand up. Dad's new friends weren't at that stage yet, but they were close. Dark hair had stopped acknowledging me completely. His eyes found nothing. No one. Not even me when I kicked the glass. It was in their eyes, too. When Dad first brought them in, the three of them were vocal, screaming at me, pounding on the glass. Mom told me they were in denial that they were sick. In their heads, they thought my father was imprisoning them. "It is an illness of the brain, Rosie," she told me. But as days and weeks and months went by, they started to resemble dolls with no strings, pressing their faces against the pane, staring at me dazedly, a vacancy in their eyes that felt like oblivion was staring back. On the day after my 7th birthday, I skipped down to the basement after breakfast to find my father finishing up. He pushed past me, grumbling at me not to get too close. I wanted to talk to Dark Hair about my favorite episode of Phineas and Ferb, but when I opened my mouth, I knew something was wrong. The lights were too bright, too in my face. I noticed Gold Hair at first. He was sitting cross-legged, head tipped back. I think he was praying. The girl was sleeping, though I could see her shaking. I could hear her sobs. My gaze crept across the glass screen, my breakfast creeping into my throat. Dark Hair was wearing Freckles' metal crown. This time, it was glued to his head. Freckles hated it. I used to watch the girl try and violently tear the thing off her head, scratching at the cruel pincers glued to her flesh. The boy didn't even notice it. Maybe he did at some point. I could see the haunted glint of something alive, something writhing and aware, behind gnawing empty holes staring back at me. The claw marks on his head were evident of that, showing that he too had tried to rip it off. In the days following, even that began to dissipate, before I found him staring, standing with his hands on the glass. Freckles' crown was tighter on his head, blood coating clenched teeth. Blood, just like Freckles. Gold hair started to barf black around the time he was fitted with the metal crown. The girl had a scary cough when I visited days later. She had a scary bandage over her throat. Mom and Dad made the rules very clear. I could not, under any circumstances, question Dad's new friends. But I couldn't help wondering why all of my father's friends were getting sick. They weren't sick before the basement and the crown of metal. So I decided to ask Dad's friends questions in an attempt to understand their relationship with my father. Even when their hair was gone, scary metal crowns stuck to their bald heads, eyes overshadowed and sunken. Dad's friends had not aged. I had grown taller. I started a new grade and a whole new group of friends. I had aged 4 years and they were stuck in time. As usual, the three of them weren't speaking, either curled up or in the dark-haired boy's case, standing with arms folded, head slightly inclined. I noticed candy seemed to get his attention, so I brought my secret weapon, Sour Patch Kids. I did bring them some of my 9th birthday cake, but after multiple attempts, I couldn't get it past the glass screen. I'd been visiting them for 4 years, and they still looked exactly the same. Pressing my palm to the glass was my way of greeting them without scaring them. "Who are you?" I asked, waving a Sour Patch Kid in front of them. I was met with blank eyes. Dark hair didn't even notice the gummy. I couldn't remember the last time any of them spoke. They did speak, and could. I could hear them at night, screaming, their banshee wails rattling my skull. They screamed for death, begging my father to stop. I wrapped a pillow around my head, burying under my blankets. Dad was fixing them, and fixing hurt. "Hello?" I knocked gently on the glass, popping the candy into my mouth. "Can you guys tell me your names?" No response. Dark hair was staring at me like I was a space alien, his head slightly inclined. The others were sleeping as usual, snoozing together. So I tried again. "Were you going to the beach?" I asked, and to my surprise, Dark Hair's expression twitched, his eyes flickering. His half-lidded eyes found me, dazedly. "The beach?" I repeated, reveling in the sudden spark in his eyes. This was progress, after nothing for so long. "Is that where my dad found you?" Dark Hair blinked, his fist tightening. "Coach Ella?" I frowned. "What's that?" The boy shook his head, a thin line of red dripping from his nose. "Coachella?" His voice was a croak, eyes widening, like he was waking up from a long dream. The boy's gaze flicked behind me, like he could see something I couldn't. We need to get to Coachella, right? His hands bunched into fists. "We were on our way to Coachella." "I still need to buy my ticket," the girl giggled into the floor. "And we haven't figured out where we're staying." "The hotel, moron." Blonde hair sat up suddenly, a small smile pricking on his mouth. It didn't match his eyes. When I pressed my face into the glass pane, the three of them looked almost like themselves again. Almost, and yet I couldn't ignore the crowns of cruel metal. The strips of white wrapped around their heads. They were still my father's patients, but I had never seen so much emotion before. Even if it was just splinters. Footprints. "We've had this conversation multiple times. I'm the designated driver, so I get leader privileges and can tell you guys what to do." I took a slow step back, a shiver creeping down my spine. Dark Hair scoffed, but his expression, unlike his voice, was empty. He was looking straight through me. His voice was more of a memory, a ghost. "What's wrong with camping? We need to get the full Coachella experience, right? Tents are like $10, bro."
"Well, you can go camping and get the full experience," the girl said. "Meanwhile, the two of us with brains will get a hotel and avoid getting roofied."
That was all they said, the same thing over and over. The same conversation, the same disagreements, the same laughter, like three broken records. There were three words that I picked up on: Coachella, ticket, hotel. So that's what I named them. I was sick of referring to them as dark hair, gold hair, and girl. After a while, the three started to become a little more responsive. "Hey, kid." Coachella surprised me one day with my name. I appreciated that his hair was growing back under his metal crown. He still hadn't aged, his face stuck in time. Coachella knelt on the ground, tapping on the glass. "It's Rose, right?" "Rosie," I corrected him. It was my 13th birthday and I was showing Ticket how to play Fortnite on my Switch. Ticket was ignoring me, curled up on the ground. Hotel was snoozing on his lap. He stopped replying when I delved into Fortnite lore. It's not like he was talkative in the first place, though he did offer small grunts, acknowledging my words. The two of them weren't as responsive as Coachella, who was slowly regaining color in his cheeks, awareness in his eyes. It wasn't the awareness of the boy who my father dragged down to our basement. It was new, like he was a whole different person. Coachella was the only one who wore the crown of metal. Hotel had a plastic tube stuck in her arm, and Ticket had a blinking device stuck to his left temple. Daddy really was treating their sick brains. Had to smile, and he was fixing them. "Come over here," Coachella gestured toward me, knocking on the pane. I blew a raspberry, my gaze glued to my game. "Why should I? I could get your mind sickness." "I want to show you a magic trick." I lifted my head. "Magic isn't real." "You would be surprised, kid."
"Oh?"
I slowly made my way over to the glass. His eyes darkened. "Do you know how to get us out of here?"
"Why would you want to leave?"
I asked him.
"Dad is making you better."
He let out a bitter laugh, drawing a smiley in the condensation. "What if I can prove your dad is a bad man?" Something sour filled the back of my throat.
"My father is not a bad man."
His lip curled. "Then I'll show you my magic trick." Coachella knocked on the glass, his voice suddenly a lot louder in my head, slowly bleeding into my brain. It felt real, physical, like a bug skittering across the meat of my brain. "Why don't you come closer?" I did, my body no longer in control. In two heavy steps, I was standing nose to nose with him. The only thing that separated us was the pane of glass. Before I could see it, though, Dad dragged me back upstairs. The basement was locked, and I was officially forbidden from going down there. It's been a year since I was locked out of the basement. I still heard their screams at night, so loud, raw, and real, like all they felt was agony. I told myself my father was helping them, but for this long? Last night, when I jumped off of the school bus, Mom was waiting for me. She told me to go straight to my room and already had snacks for me to eat until dinner. Mom said I had to stay in my room all night, and Dad was having friends over. I entertained myself for most of the evening, though when it reached 9 p.m., I heard voices coming from downstairs. My excuse was that I felt nauseous if my parents caught me, though when I stepped into the kitchen, dodging behind the refrigerator, our dining room was filled with men and women in fancy clothing, suits, and cocktail dresses. "Drink?" The server looked a little too young to be handing out glasses of champagne. "I'm 14, he scoffed. "So am I. What's your point?" I opened my mouth to reply when Dad's voice startled me. "Hello, everyone." The server was quick to put his drinks platter down, eyes darkening. "Showtime," he muttered, pulling a phone from his pocket. "Thanks for coming," Dad told the small crowd, leading them down to the basement. I followed hesitantly, hiding behind server guy. "Can I please reiterate that electronic devices are prohibited in this space, and if you are caught, you will be paying a penalty?" I waited for server guy to dump his phone, but he didn't. In fact, he slipped further into the crowd, grasping the phone in his hand. Against my better judgment, I followed him. After a moment of standing behind the guy, he was either talking to himself or talking to someone else. "Let's start the auction." Dad stepped onto the stage, microphone in hand. "Auction?" The lights dimmed, small talk and chattering coming to a halt. Coachella appeared, his eyes a lot more animated, alert. I hadn't seen them in a whole year and they still hadn't aged. Ticket was shoved onto the stage, then Golden Hair. The three of them were decently dressed. The guys wore suits and Hotel was wearing a dress more expensive than our house. Dark blonde hair tied into a ponytail, Her dress was black obsidian, pooling underneath her. There were no metal crowns, no strips of white wrapped around their heads. I could actually see Coachella's eyes, his dark brown hair cut and styled. They looked human again, like actual teenagers, even if they had been teenagers for 9 years. S3, show them what you can do. Dad's mouth curved into a smile. How about the young man in the audience who is currently filming this? Coachella thrust two fingers into his right temple. Finger guns. Bang, he said. For half a second, I thought nothing had happened, but I was aware of a ringing sound in my head, getting louder and louder. It wasn't until I blinked away streaks of crimson, my shaking hands coming up, up, up to cradle my own face, when I realized the server was gone, lost in a vivid explosion of red. His phone was on the ground, still connected to someone. The screen cracked. Someone shoved me back, picking up the phone. I felt so small, so tiny, insignificant. Disgusting as my father's daughter. Was our guest live streaming? Dad asked the man. No. The man stuffed the phone in his pocket. Just normal iPhone footage, sir. Good. Then let's continue with the auction. I stood frozen for what felt like a century, staring at the boy's torso and what was left of his head, a sludge of pinkish red poking from pearly white. The ringing sound in my ear turned shrill and a screech clawed its way up my throat. Starting bidding at $3 million, my father said, the crowd murmuring. Through sharp red drowning my vision, I didn't see fear on these people's faces. I saw interest. S3 is the very first psychokinetic. Dad boomed into his mic. He nodded to Coachella. Would you like to demonstrate? Coachella met my gaze, his lips twitching. Slowly, his fingers once again pulverized his temples. I found myself staggering back, unable to breathe. S3, my dad started to say. I said, would you like to demonstrate? Bang. Dad was standing there 1 minute and was gone the next. This time, his whole body ripped apart, nothing left behind. I didn't cry. Should have cried. I should have screamed and wailed, but I didn't. I was half aware of bony arms shoving past me, a sudden whiff of my mother's favorite perfume hitting me in the face. I apologize for that, everyone. My mom projected her voice, allowing the crowd to part for her. Mom's shoes went click-clack across the stage. She kept her head held high before bending down and picking up my father's blood-slicked microphone. Mother was dressed up, a slender red dress and heels, her hair tied into a knot. My mother's smile was bright, her eyes wild. My legs felt like they were going to give way. Mom wasn't trembling with fear when Dad first brought his new friends in. She was excited. Thinking back the way she squeezed me to her chest, her shaking hands going to my cheeks, her smile I thought was forced was to calm me down and reassure me. It was for them. Just seeing them filled her with anticipation, intoxication. When Coachella tried to run, Mom grabbed him by the hair, violently dragging him back, pinning his hands behind him. As my husband was saying, she said hurriedly, flashing the crowd a glittering smile. Let's start. Let me go, Coachella shrieked. You bitch. She slammed her hand over his mouth, forcing the others to their feet. Starting bidding at $4 million, she gasped out. Going once? Call the police, Coachella muffled to me. Tell him my name is. Mom kicked him in the face, forcing Coachella to the stage. When he jumped up, she whipped out a gun, sticking the handheld in his temple. Starting at $3 million? She said loudly. Anyone want to go higher? When a suited old man in the audience raised his hand, announcing a price, I felt sick to my stomach. $5 million. A woman in a fur coat raised hers. $5.4 million. Mom dragged Coachella back, her eyes finding mine. Go upstairs, Rosie. I did. I can still feel blood on my face even now, after so many showers. Right now, the basement is still out of bounds. The auction has been going on for 3 days, and blood still coats the basement floor. Expensive heels tread in human remains, congealed blood. Mom keeps smiling, and these psychos don't even care. I'm so scared. I don't want to be scared of my mother, but I am. I think she was behind the death of my father. I don't know what to do. I'm sitting here and can't stop shaking. I feel sick. Mom acts like nothing happened, but I'm not allowed to go outside on my own. I can go to school, but only accompanied by my cousin. Mom took my phone, but I found my old one in my drawer. Coachella was right. My dad was a bad man, but my mom is damn evil. And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, let me know in the comments below, if you're on YouTube or wherever else you are listening from. I don't know what your options are, but I really would appreciate you reaching out and just saying hi and letting me know what you thought. If you'd like to, you can support the channel and help these episodes continue on by joining the Patreon. There's early access up there for right now, some other goodies sprinkled in from before, so there is that option if you so choose. There's also a Discord if you want to come and hang out with us. It's pretty low-key right now, but we are getting some new faces, so I'd like to see yours in there if you feel so inclined. And if you'd like to send me your story, you can go to storiesaftermidnight.com where there's a link to that. And I think that's about it. So I really appreciate you for stopping by and listening. I hope you enjoyed yourself. And we will see you in the next one.